Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, it's Testimony Sunday this morning. If you didn't hear the word testimony enough on Testimony Sunday, right? We did our testimony song. And we're just going to keep talking about testimonies. But as Brian is still playing here, I really need water. I don't know if there's water anywhere. Thank you. That's what two tea bags of green tea will do to you. We've got two people that need to take the mic so I don't like die from drought here. But we've got two people that have testimonies. So Sue has a testimony and Paul has a testimony. And just so you know, we love testimonies in this church. We do not just share them on Testimony Sunday, but we do make special room for them on Testimony Sunday. And so Sue's going to come up, and then Paul has a short one as well. And if you've got a testimony, fear not. Every month, we've got room for it to happen. Thank you so much. All right. Paul, why don't you start, and then we'll end with Sue's here. Yeah, come on up front. We got people on the, do I need help? That is very nice of you. I think I've got it. All right.
I have been, not too long ago, I had been a little remiss in reading the Bible, and it bugged me. So I said, you know, I better, as usual, I gotta take some time. So I sat down, I said, I'm gonna read through the book of Luke. So I started reading. And as I went along, I go slow because I hate to read through the Bible quick. And so I get about halfway through, and I'm getting tired. And I said, I don't want to read the Bible when I'm tired. I want the Bible to be deep and meaningful. I don't want to read it when I'm tired. So I set it down, and I said, I need something. I just want to relax. I just want to listen to something. So I said, I'll get some music. So I go to get my computer. Oh, my computer's in the shop as usual. So what am I going to do? And I remembered I had this old little CD player. And I said, I forgot all about that thing. And I went and grabbed it. I said, I'll put some music into that. I went to get some music. I pushed the button to turn the little thing on, clean the dust off. I had no idea how long And all of a sudden a voice comes out of it, and I realized I had some CD already in it. And I listened to the voice, and when I was reading the Bible, in the book of Luke, I got halfway through. And this voice comes out of the thing. What is that I got in there? It was the second half of the book of Luke. And even more surreal than that, I noticed something. The book of Luke has 24 chapters. Halfway through is number 12. At the end of 12, beginning of 13, Jesus said, at the preaching of Jonah, you know, he says, a wicked generation chases after a sign. No one's chasing after signs, miracles, and wonders. But no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For at the preaching of Jonah, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And now something greater than Jonah, Jesus, is here. That's the midpoint of the book of Luke. At the end of the book of Luke, here's what Jesus said. His very last words in the book of Luke. And it says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. So, if your sins are forgiven by repenting, think about that in his name. So.
Amen. Come on. That's fantastic. I know last week we mentioned how Pastor Brian will listen to the Bible through rap, right? So there's audio, there's music, there's reading it. There's so many different ways to get in. That's an incredible story. All right, Sue, come on up. Wow.
I don't know if some of you heard, but 4 weeks ago I was in a snow skiing accident. And it was partly my fault, but then it wasn't my fault because a sign wasn't up saying a trail was closed, and I went down it, and it was rocks, snow covered over rocks. So anyhow, I broke the humerus bone in my arm right up here, and it's not very humorous. It was actually very painful, but I went and had to go by ambulance to the hospital and so on. And then a few days later, I saw the doctor, and they took x-rays, and she said, well, I really think it will heal on its own without surgery. So I was like, thank you, Lord. So then I went back 2 weeks later, and she took more x-rays, and she walks in the room, and she says, fantastic. And I said, really? And she said, yes, it's healing so well. And I said, well, you know, a lot of people are praying for me. And I said, I really think that's what's helping. And she said, nodded her head, you know, like she couldn't doubt it because she had the proof. She had the x-rays. So it's been 4 weeks, and it's amazing. I'm doing all this. And, you know, so the Lord is good.
Come on. Praise God. I love the different kinds of testimonies. We have, I would call yours, does anyone remember Guideposts? Anyone grow up with Guideposts or have Guideposts? Only a couple. It was a cool magazine. I think it's cool now. I don't know. I'm endorsing it. But it shows, it's like incredible impossibles that God does in his mysterious ways. Yours was like a his mysterious ways, where it's just like there's no way to explain it, you know? And then we have a physical healing, even with the help of doctors, which is fantastic, right? Isn't that amazing? So praise God. All right, we're going to do the offering right now, and then we're going to keep going. We've got a really awesome packed morning. I'm looking at the balloons, which is not what I'm actually meaning to look at. They're the offering baskets. All right, so can the two greeters, can we give it up for Bill and Kevin this morning? There we go. No one wants to come to church and see a frowning face trying to open the door, right? So Kevin and Bill were our greeters this morning, championing that. So we're going to do the offering, and I don't actually know who's on the lyrics right now. I can't see you. Sam. Hey, Sam. Thank you so much. Can you put up the last slide, please? Thank you. Can we give it up for Sam this morning, too? Let me tell you something. You may not realize Sam's back there, but you would realize if Sam was not back there, okay? So our lyrics is, you know, some of us started on the lyrics about 15 years ago. That was me. And anyone remember the projectors up here, right, with a little, like, flimsy plastic, no one, I'm aging myself, right? And I would stand right here and like you'd swap it out and everyone was staring at you as you're doing it, you know, so you're just looking during worship. But it was very apparent then that the whole worship team was on the stage, but now we get to spread out with the computer and praise God we've got a computer, right? So that is not the right one, even though it is great to pray this morning. If you want to ever pray, go to that. That's where our prayer wall is. And I get prayer requests almost every day. They're just coming in. And if you go to that place on our website, there's a whole prayer wall. Some people put prayer requests by name and some anonymously. And you can actually click a little button that says, I prayed. So it's really cool. It's just this amazing online community there. So highly recommend praying, putting that into your daily prayer life. All right, I'm getting a finger. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Oh, praise God. Come on. Amen. That is such a good point. On our prayer wall, we have a testimony part. Thank you. That is, yeah, so don't just put the prayer, put the testimony from the prayer. All right, so we're going to give. Can you change the URL to the giving URL for us? Thank you so much. Okay, maybe you can help them. Okay, anyway, so we're going to give now. So if you want to stand on your feet. The most awkward transition ever. That's right. We're just going to own the awkward in our church. There we go. So this month, I'm excited. We're in 2 weeks, we're going to be sharing something that we have never done as a church before with missions. And I am really excited to be able to share the vision with you and to be able to partner with you guys in a new level. We're also going to be launching a finance course in about a month. And if you've been here for a while, you'll know right before COVID hit, we were going to do a finance course. And then that happened, and we obviously did not. So we're going to be offering that as well, because we believe that God is for us, and he wants us to be able to steward what he gives us well, and he wants us to have abundance, not so that we can have money, but so that we can sow into the kingdom and accomplish what God wants accomplished in our area together. Amen? So just stay tuned for that. Not everyone may be interested, but it is an amazing course. It goes over budgeting and things like that, just practicals. How many know God's practical, right? He is a practical and supernatural God together. So I'm just going to pray here, and we want to invite you, whether you're giving a tithe of 10% or more generously or whatever God is putting on your heart, everything that comes in here goes right back out to sowing the gospel. We have our sister church in Malawi that was hit by the typhoon there. You might not have heard about it because news over there isn't quite as loud as news over here, but there was a massive typhoon that hit Malawi, and it did actually take the roof off of, I believe, our got a couple buildings over there. I believe it was the church. So everything that it's coming in, you know, we're trying to help them rebuild that over the next few weeks and months. So that is going to be going right back out. And then, of course, we have local outreaches as well. So we try to be very purposeful, and everything that comes in gets to be put to work. So Jesus, we just thank you for the ability to be able to sow. And God, we know it's not about the size of the gift, but it is about the heart. And so Father, we thank you that we get to give in obedience to you. God, that we could be good stewards, even just like Abraham gave 10% way back in the Old Testament, God. We thank you that we get the honor of being able to sow into the kingdom whatever amount you're putting on our hearts right now, so we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus here in Ithaca and Dryden and Cortland, and then also in Malawi, God, that we can reach out for Christ and help people thrive in you practically and supernaturally. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can give online, and if you've been tracking, I have a New York State government announcement. We are just waiting on them now to send us the paperwork. Praise Jesus. So if you're new here, you may not realize we changed our church name a few months ago. And if you have questions about that, feel free to ask. But we changed our church name, and ROFC is our old church name. So you still need to make checks out there for, like, hopefully one more week. But it's becoming a running joke.
We actually, it went through successfully, but in order to change the name on the bank, highly technical, but we need the document to arrive, and the mail is delayed.
Yay.
Thank you. Okay. Brian works in our finance administration. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So you can pass the baskets if you'd like. And of course you can give online, which I think most of us do. All right. Moving right along here. After you've given, I like to do the offering before we send any of the youth or kids out, because it is a chance for all ages to participate. So after you've given, if you are a youth or a child, you can make your way to the back. Pastor Brian, I wanted you to grab a few rocks, actually, to do the activity with the youth as well. There will be no rock throwing. I just want to clarify, if anyone's concerned. We had a few people worried we were going to do a reenactment of a stoning, but that is not happening this morning. There's the rocks. Just take the bag. All right. I know there's a bit of a rumble here, but we're going to stay focused because we got a big morning plan. So, Caleb, why don't you keep it going?
Yep. Going quick, going fast, going right on time. Good morning. Welcome once again to Thrive and Why. It is Testimony Sunday. And as we were giving testimonies there just a few minutes ago, I want to encourage everybody. Sometimes when we hear somebody else's testimony, it can be so overwhelming and so awesome. And we think, man, I don't have a testimony like that. I've lived such a humdrum life, or that thing hasn't happened in my life. I'm telling you, no matter what testimony you have, somebody somewhere will listen to your testimony and it will touch that person in a way that a super amazing testimony that we think it is never could, because God did that thing in your life for somebody specific. So don't think that your testimony is too little or too mundane. That's a lie. Your testimony is just as important as anybody else's. And God gave you that testimony for somebody else to hear. So I want to encourage you with that. It says we have to give, it says to be ready in season and out of season for the hope that we have. So thank you for all coming once again to Thrive NY. This Sunday, today, after service, is coffee with a pastor. Ooh. So I'm excited. It's awesome. If you haven't been to it in a while or this is the first time, I highly encourage you, come spend some time with the pastors, learn about the history of this church, learn about some of the things that you can get involved in. It's amazing. Our mission here is to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. And I have one more testimony this morning. Damon? Ooh. Here we go.
I've never talked on a microphone before. Let's give this a shot. All right, I've got one for you. So, as some of you know, my daughter and I purchased a house in Dryden, and we're currently working on rebuilding this house. It used to belong to her grandfather. He moved away years ago. It was abandoned. So, as we are cleaning out this house, throwing away pretty much everything, we found a bin. And in this bin just happened to be a bunch of things from my daughter's mother who passed away when she was 5 months old. And it was stuff I've never seen. I have everything of hers, or at least I thought I did. And so we take the bin home. We're going through it. Total coincidence that we even come across the thing because buying that house and all these things. So she's in this early childhood development class at TC3. And she starts thumbing through the paperwork and she finds a folder. It's a folder from the same class. And it has the same work in it. It has all the same workload. I mean, but as she's going through this folder, she finds basically an autobiography written when she was 19 years old, who just happens to be the same age as my daughter now. One of the things she read in the passage was something about wanting to give up working at a bar and waitressing, but the money's too good. And my daughter had just said the same thing to me the night before. I thought it was crazy. Where I'm going with this basically is, this is a miracle that we came across this. She found out things that she could have never known about her mother at the exact same time of her life. But the similarities, off the charts. These two are the same people. I don't know how it happened. Both incredible. But I just thought I should share that.
Amen. See, it's not just a simple testimony, but it's a real testimony. Somebody online right now could be hearing that and be like, man, I am so touched by this. Don't put down the testimony you have. Testimonies are so important. Okay, for the upcoming events for the next 2 weeks, we have next Sunday is Kids Sunday, and it's a hole-in-one Sunday with wild and wacky mini golf course being set up. This is for the youth. Woo! Youth only. So we can't just walk out and start hitting the putting greens. And directly following next week, next service, we will have parents' class. If you were there last time, it was amazing. There was so much information that we received. It was really cool. So if you're a parent for a kid that's 0 to 18 or ever had one, please come and get resources and build relationships and learn how to thrive in Jesus as a parent. And another special announcement, next Sunday, we are so excited to have Pastor Rich Brink and his lovely wife here who are spiritual parents at our church. They will come and speak next and weak. Amen. On Valentine's Day, Pastor Hannah and Pastor Brian will be available to watch children if the husbands and wives want to go and have a special night together without their little kids with them.
There we go. So we'll be here at the church from 6 to 8 o'clock. And it's free. So if anybody wants to go have a date, or if you're a single parent, you just want to have some time, you can just drop your kids off, and they will be here when you come back, I promise. Because Brian is great with kids. I'm learning. For those of you who don't know, I actually ran a kids' ballet school a long time ago, but the three-year-olds were my favorite age. Anyone like three-year-olds? I loved the three-year-olds. And just to prove how much a three-year-old can do, I wrote a 30-minute ballet that was kind of like a parable. So it told a story. And the star of the 30-minute ballet was a three-year-old who knew all the choreography. She was incredible. So don't underestimate your three-year-old or your 30-year-old, however old they are, all right? All right. So we're going to dive into this. I've got a really meaty sermon, and I don't think we're going to have time to get through all of it. So we're just going to let Holy Spirit guide us through, and maybe we'll serve the leftovers in a couple weeks, right? And then I've got a really cool activity here with rocks as well. So we're going to dive right in. Revelation 12:11. If you've been here for a Testimony Sunday, you know that this is our theme verse. Am I too loud or am I okay? Is it okay? Okay, it's a little boomy, so I just want to make sure. But our sound man isn't in here anymore. So Revelation 12:11. We started Testimony Sunday, a year ago maybe? I'm not sure. And it was one of the most powerful Sundays we've ever had. For anyone who remembers it, we lined up here with a poster board, and we wrote our before Christ and then our after Christ, kind of our BC and after Christ right there. And we lined up, and to see all the stories of what people had overcome through Jesus in this church, it was one of the most amazing Sundays that we've ever had. And I am so excited to be relaunching that for this whole year. So the first Sunday, everyone say the first Sunday of every month is Testimony Sunday, just to clarify. So Revelation 12:11, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives as much as to shrink from death. So that word triumph also means, I'm just going to put this down a little bit. There we go. That word triumph also means victory. But does anybody know the Greek word used there? Anybody? It was a hint. It has to do with lacing up. I don't actually have a pair of the shoes, which would have been really epic, but I couldn't just like go buy a pair yesterday because they're expensive. Anybody know what I'm doing here? Anybody feeling me this morning? The only shoe that has a Greek name that I'm aware of. Nike. I was like, we're going to do charades. What's this, right? Nike. Nike means victory, all right? So this is how we're tying it together. Nike means victorious, conquer, overcome, and prevail. So if you are needing to get some victory in your life, wear your Nike shoes, all right? It was too late to ask people to wear Nikes. Is anybody prophetic here? Did anybody wear Nike shoes? If not, we're going to do a prophetic class in a couple weeks. No? Yes. All right. Damon, go. Okay. We got our Nike. So you win the prize if we had one. Congratulations. You're prophetic. All right. So today, as we talk about testimonies, as we talk about lacing up, we already talked about the shoes of peace, right? But if the shoes of peace looked like something, they would look like a Nike shoe, all right? And no, I'm not saying we support Nike, and we are not sponsored by Nike for anyone watching online. All right. But we're going to look at two keys to walking in our Nike shoes this morning, in our victory, okay? Number one, overcomers own their God-given Bible story. Just say, I'm an owner, all right? Overcomers own their story. And so I love the Paul in Acts 22. He's been arrested and he's giving his defense to the mob, right? And I love this. If you want to know how to share your testimony, Acts 22 is like a line by line, sentence by sentence. It's just a perfect outline for a salvation testimony. So get into that this week if you're looking on how do I tell my story. But in Acts 22, he says who he was before Christ, which, by the way, was not a pretty picture, right? If you know Stephen, he was someone who was stoned to death, and Paul was actually present for that, all right, just to give a little picture of how not good he was. So we have him before Christ, we have his supernatural experience, then we have his response to his supernatural experience, and then we have how he spent his life after. So that's kind of a great salvation testimony outline. But what I loved was the mob didn't really care about Paul's story until Paul dropped the kicker, which was that salvation was for the Gentiles too, right? And that is what got them angry. Isn't it funny how you can tell your story to someone and they can be fine that maybe you're living a better life, or they can be fine that this happened or that happened, but your addiction was broken? Wait a minute, what's going on now? What's the one-liner that is turning their hearts, right? And so know, as you're telling your story, as you're thinking about your salvation message, what is that part in the salvation story that you have that God did that was impossible, that didn't make sense, that defied the odds? Because salvation going to the Gentiles, that was that for Paul. So I loved this, though, because we rob God glory when we let shame steal our story. Yes, that rhymes. I did not mean for that to rhyme. I used to write songs more, right? But we rob God glory when we let shame steal our story. I love this because Paul was given the chance to speak to a mob, and he was actually arrested. So the circumstances weren't even good for him to tell his story, right? How many have been like, I haven't shared my story because it's not like the right environment to do so? Anyone ever done that? Like, this is not my target audience, right? Anybody? I don't think that was Paul's target audience, right? I've done marketing in the past, and like, you have your target audience, right? God doesn't really care about target audiences. There are people that we will reach more than others, 100%. But God's like, does it have a heartbeat? And do you have a mouth? Let's make this happen, right? And that's what happened with Paul. And so Paul didn't let shame, or he didn't let who was listening steal his story, because he wanted to give God glory. When you and I sit on our testimonies, it's like we're robbing God of worship. It's like we're robbing God of glory. And that is not something we want to do. And I love this because overcomers own their God-given Bible story. So I'm talking about owning your story, right? Paul owned his story. He actually said he was at the martyring of Stephen, right? He was actually at the stoning. He didn't like bury that. Anyone ever like told your story and kind of buried a part of your story, right? We're like, oh, we're going to go and we're just going to avoid that one little one line, and then we're just going to get right back on track, right? We're just going to hop over that. This was amazing. I was at Liz Harding's mother's funeral. We ran the funeral yesterday. So if you know Liz, please send your love to her during this time. Send your prayers. Reach out. But I was there, and we were at the lunch after the funeral, and I'm sitting there eating some really good pulled pork, right? And there was this gentleman sitting across from me named Denny. Everyone say Denny, right? He was an older gentleman wearing a mask, so I couldn't really see him very well. He took off his mask to eat his pulled pork, of course, and we're talking, and he introduced himself, and he said, I used to take care of big cats, okay? Everyone say big cats. And I'm thinking, like, pussycats, like at the SPCA? But I was curious, so I was like, what kind of big cats? He's like, oh, you know, I used to feed the lions. And I was like, you what? So for the next hour, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this man. He's telling stories of taking care of the entire Binghamton Zoo at night. He was like, it was like Night at the Museum, but he was the guard, right? And he would feed the lions, and he said he would play hide and go seek with the lions. It was incredible. I learned so much. And first off, just as a little disclaimer, when you're sitting with someone or you're talking to your waiter or whatever, don't discount who they are by how they look or by how they come across. I would have never known this guy fed lions for a job, right? But as we're talking, he found out I was a pastor, and we're talking, and he's like, well, I've got a testimony. He was like, well, I don't always just like come out and say it. And I'm like, ooh, what's your testimony? He was like, well, God saved me from witchcraft, right? And I was like, oh, tell me more. Like, now, he was just a man full of surprises. Well, he had gotten saved as a teenager, but he didn't have a church to plug into. And how many know if you're not in community, sometimes when you're isolated, it's easier to get off track, right? So he got into witchcraft. And I don't know if he was in Ouija boards or what, but he just got into it. And he would have these demonic issues and all this stuff. And one time when he was having this demonic encounter, he said he got so scared, he called on the name of God. And he said, God was just waiting for me to call on him because he was right here. And the minute I called on the name of Jesus, the whole demonic issue that he was having just, poof, it vanished. And he got delivered immediately of the whole thing. And he left witchcraft, turned his life around. And he actually goes to churches and shares that testimony to tell people, you know, don't do the Ouija boards. Don't get into that stuff. It's real, but there's a God that's more real. And he's just a minute away when you call him. Isn't that amazing? So I'm sitting next to this guy eating pulled pork yesterday, and I'm just kind of unwinding at a funeral, right? You don't necessarily think you're going to hear a testimony like that at a funeral, but don't discount the moment. Don't discount your story. Don't steal God's glory, right? And so it's just a good idea. Just be ready in season and out. So we are owners of our story. We don't need to be ashamed of it. Thrive means to grow, mature, and multiply, right? Say grow, mature, and multiply. And we don't have membership here. If you're newer, heads up, we don't have membership. Doesn't mean that we don't want you to belong. That's not what we mean by that. But we believe in owners, right? If you're coming here and you're like, I'm ready to be an owner, that's what we believe in. And let me explain. Brian and I have an apartment, and who here has rented or rents? Anybody ever rented, right? So if you've rented, it's like, you know, the window breaks and you call the owner, right? And you're like, hey, I've got an issue. The window won't close. It's sub-zero. Can you please get over here, right? Or you need the snow plowed out, and you're like, hey, I need the snow plowed out. Call the owner, and the owner deals with it, right, depending on your situation. Well, Pastor Tom and Jordy are gone, and they have a tenant. They have an apartment that they rent. And so Brian and I oversee the property while they're gone. And how many know there's a very big difference between being a renter and an owner, right? And so it's like midnight. I'm about ready to get into bed. I'm not really in the mood to like talk to anybody. And my phone rings, and it's the tenant. Amazing person, if you know who they are. I will not mention them by name. They're phenomenal. This is not to diss them at all. Guess what there was? There was a mouse. There was a mouse at midnight. If you know me, I was afraid of mice before I had to ever deal with this. So I get Brian out of bed, first off. I'm like, we got to go deal with this. In other words, you got to go deal with this, but I will come with you, right? We go downstairs. We deal with the mouse, which, thank God, it wasn't there. I think it was outside. You know, it was a whole thing. But anyway, thank God there wasn't a mouse. But how many know when she called me, it wasn't like I was going to call Pastor Tom in Florida and be like, hey, there's a mouse. We got to get you back here. Right? Not exactly how that works, right? And so there's a big difference between being an owner and a renter. And I am going somewhere with this, so stay here, all right? So in Luke 22, 19 through 20, it says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given, say given, for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out, say poured out, for you. And we're going to take communion in just a second when we close out here. Given means to give over to one's care, to entrust, to commit, to give one to someone as his own. In other words, to be an owner, right? And Jesus didn't die on the cross and raise on the third day so you and I could rent his body. Does that make sense? We aren't renters of his body. We are owners of his body. We are the body of Christ on earth. And if you've been here for a while, you'll hear me say often, there's no backup plan. We are the backup. There's no plan B. We are plan A, B, and C for our region. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is plan A through Z for the region, right? We are owners of what God is doing on earth. We are surrendered, but we are called to be committed and to realize that we have been given something to steward. And whether that's through ourselves, our family, our church, or our community, we are not called to be renters, to just call someone when there's a problem, but we are called to bring a heavenly solution from Jesus to the problem. Amen? Are you tracking? And so I think this is important because, you know, in our church, we'll talk about we don't want to be gossiping. We don't want to be critical, right? Kind of look at the fruits of the Spirit and then look at the opposite. We don't want to be the opposite, right? You want to have the fruit of the Spirit. Why do we talk about being forgiving? Why do we talk about serving and being generous, right? It's not just because these are things to do, but these are instructions that God has given us to take care of his body that he has entrusted to us. Are you following? And, you know, when Pastor Tom left, he gave Brian use of his snowblower. All right. How many have been plowing? Anybody been plowing recently? It was a lot because the snowblower died this week. And so I then had to shovel. It was a mess. But the snowblower is great when it works, right? And Pastor Tom said, now, when you snowblow, if you leave a lot of snow before you snowblow, like if you let it snow get too high, it won't work. Right? So make sure you go out and snowblow before it like snows a foot or something, right? And Pastor John didn't say that to be authoritarian, to be like, this is how you do things because I am the authority on the property. He did it because he was saying, look, if you actually want to take care of the property, this is how you do it. This is how you actually be an owner for me. And when God gives us instructions on how to thrive, how to relate to each other, how to get into the word, how to pray, he's not saying it as an authoritarian figure in our lives. He's saying it as a good father, saying, if you want to be an owner, if you want to take care of my body, if you want to own your story, this is how you do it. Are you guys following? There's such a difference between hearing God's voice as an authoritarian figure telling you what to do and hearing God's voice as a loving father with just as much authority saying, if you want to thrive, if you want to take care of what I've given you, this is how you do it in your finances, in your relationships, in your thoughts, in your health. Does that make sense? God is practical and he's supernatural. So just say, I'm an owner. Number two, just real quick as we close out. Overcomers carry David's rocks and a slingshot. So how many know that David had to own his story, right? When he went and he got before Goliath, for a hot second he didn't own his story, and he put on all the armor, right, that was other people's stories of success to try to kill Goliath. And then he was like, what am I doing here? I need to own my story. I need to own my background that I've killed lions and bears with my bare hands and slingshots. I'm going to use my testimonies of past victories in this moment to kill the giant. Are you guys following? And God is saying, will you own your past victories? Will you realize they are God-given stories of victories in your life that you are to use as weapons in your present situations? And you don't just have to use your victories. You can hear someone else's testimony and say, hey, if God did that for you, God can do that for me. Read the Bible. That's one of the most amazing parts of the Bible is it's full of these stories of victory in impossible situations. If you haven't seen it with your own eyes, see it with your own eyes in the Bible and declare it and take it as your own, right? And so this morning, we're actually going to do this exercise here with these rocks. I don't know if we can we get the communion up here? That would be great. Sue, I think were you going to help? Or you just helped prep the communion, which is awesome. So Pastor Caleb and Natalie, maybe you guys can just get two other people. Maybe Pedro and Wendy would be great if you're able to. Thank you. I heard a pastor say this. You can't fight today's devils if you don't have today's testimonies, right? So just say today's testimonies. And it's amazing to get into the scripture. And I just talked about the importance of getting into the word daily last Sunday. If you missed it, it'll be up on our website this week as a podcast. But it's important to get into the word to hear past victories. But we believe in a God that is moving now, the same God, just like we sang, right? And so we're a church that wants to celebrate what God is doing today just as much as what he was doing yesterday. And so I've got these stones here. And in just a second, we're going to actually write down something that got, they're really powdery. Brian and I were at Lowe's at like 10 o'clock last night dragging this bag of rocks through Lowe's. He was dragging the bag. It's a little too heavy, but they're really powdery. I apologize. Just brush your hands off a little bit. We're messy in this church in more ways than one, right? But David took out Goliath with one of his pebbles. because he owned his story. He knew what God had done in his life before in the past season. And he said, if I could kill a lion with a pebble, if I could take out a prey against my sheep with this rock, I can take out a giant with it today. Right? Are you tracking? And who's to say that if David can do that, can I take out a giant of discouragement if I've got a pebble testimony? Right? Can I take out a giant of lack or of poverty mindset or of discouragement or of sickness with a pebble testimony? Amen? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. I just want to read the scripture before we do this activity. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. This made my hair white. Sneering in contempt at his ruddy-faced boy, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Isn't it amazing that when discouragement comes against you, it's actually coming against God because Christ is in us. Isn't that amazing? Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then skip down to 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Isn't it amazing that Goliath in our lives today, it's like, I don't have a testimony necessarily of cancer getting healed for me, but I know what God did last week or even yesterday when I was sitting at a funeral, kind of in a sad moment, and God said, hey, I want to remind you that I've overcome witchcraft. Take that as a testimony that you can use in your pouch, that you can take out and throw at a giant that you face this week. I want to remind you how much authority I have supernaturally. Right? And I can take that as my own, even though it was Denny's testimony. And so as we're about to do this activity, I want to begin to invite you to think about what has God been doing just this last month. All right? This might be a little hard, but just in January, what did God do for you? What is God doing right now in your life? Not what did God do last year, although that's phenomenal, but what has God been doing this last month? And it might be small or it might be big, but I'm going to give you four different kinds of testimonies. Number one is the manna story. Everyone say manna. Manna stories are God's provision, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in wilderness seasons, like in Exodus 16. So it might be as simple as a phone call from a friend when you need it, saying, I'm praying for you. A provision, maybe it's a check in the mail, or it's a provided bill, or maybe you're able to share generosity to help someone else in need and give them a manna story. But that would be a manna story. There's Red Sea stories, God's supernatural deliverance. Everyone say Red Sea. So these are testimonies where you couldn't see a way forward and you felt under attack and you were pressed up against something. It was like, anyone ever felt cornered in life or stuck in life? And God said, I am delivering you. So that's what these kind of testimonies are, Red Sea stories. For us, we had a car that was uninspected and unregistered a couple months ago. And we were like, Jesus, how are we going to do this, right? And somebody said, hey, you can borrow our car and we're going to help you here fix the car, right? That's a Red Sea story, right? We were kind of backed up against a wall there with our vehicle situation. And one last kind of story, Jericho story. Everyone say Jericho. Stories of God showing himself stronger than anything else when we face him and obey him, right? They were taking their inheritance. They were taking the promised land. These are stories where you are taking a promise of God for your own, and you are watching God break through in your life, whatever that looks like. And so I want to invite you to come up here, and we're going to do an activity where we're going to own our story. We're going to become owners. Whoops, so I don't. Whoa! Thank God I didn't just drop that on my toe because I'm not Goliath, right? I don't want to be taken out. We're going to become owners of what God is doing. And I'm not going to have you actually take these rocks home. We're going to be building a rock garden, all right? So everyone say, oh boy. I hate rock gardens too. If you do, God bless you. But I'm not a designer. I do not like those things. But we're going to do this in honor of Joshua. Because when Joshua crossed the Jordan, he said, hey, grab 12 stones and make a memorial of what God did here. So that when the generations come and they say, why are these stones here? You can say, well, God did this for our ancestors. God parted the Jordan. God parted the Red Sea. He delivered you. And this is a memorial. And so God gave me this vision this week to actually make a rock garden and to build the rock garden every Testimony Sunday this year, where we're going to, I don't know where we're going to put it. I'll leave that to Natalie. She's got a better eye for that. But we're going to make a rock garden of all of our testimonies. So you might put something like provision. You might put something like hope. You might put something like healing. Whoops, these are slippery. Restoration. Or you might put something like relationship, closer relationship with God or with somebody else. Whatever it is, there's no rock too small and there's no rock too big to take out Goliath in our lives, right? But we're going to build this rock garden and actually have it be a place where when you invite someone to church in the next few weeks or when you come to church in the next few weeks, you can be like, hey, I'm having a hard time. And you can look down and you can see if God sets someone free from an addiction, he can do it for me or he can do it for my situation. Amen? Are you following me? So this was, I had more in my sermon, so you probably noticed I was skipping around a little bit. I apologize. Hope you could kind of keep through it. But it's because I wanted to end strong with these rocks because we're going to be building this all year and it's going to be a building project. So what we're going to do here is we're going to invite you to come up and let's see, we'll kind of split the church in half here. I don't know who could get, Judith, would you mind just go grabbing the children, or just letting them know we're taking communion because we, of course, don't want to exclude them. But what I want to invite you to do is come up to the front, grab a rock and a marker, write down one word or whatever it is, how you can't really write an essay on a rock, sorry, unless you got really tiny handwriting. So, you know, a couple words, whatever represents to you what God has been doing in your life, and then you can just put it right back. And then when you've done that, you can go over and get communion. And no, this is not a requirement. We don't do that. But we love in this church to celebrate what God is doing. No one needs to know it's your testimony. It's going to be anonymous, all right? So just put it back down. But you saying, you know, I'm going to own my story. I'm not going to let shame steal my story this morning of what God is doing this year could actually bring breakthrough and will bring breakthrough to more people this year as they come into church. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet and we're going to do this here. So why don't you guys, you can come in a little bit so you're not so much on the edge. There we go. Just pretend Pastor Brian is playing a really great song right now because that was the goal, but he's with the youth. I'm sure having a great God encounter with them. So why don't you just come on up, grab a Sharpie, write it down. You can just pop it right back onto the stage and then get your communion and go back to your seat and then we'll take communion together. See, I'm going to try and sing something here so it's not so silent. Is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. I'm standing on your faith.
Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Come on, sing it one more time. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness.
God, we just thank you right now for the testimonies of what you've done this past month. And God, we don't just discount it. Father, you don't owe us anything. We owe it all to you, Father. So we just thank you for what you have done in our life this past month, God. And we come to you in communion, just like it says, you gave us your body. You give us your body to take and eat and your blood to drink, to remember you, God. But not just to remember your incredible sacrifice, but to remember the story you are writing in our lives, to remember the Bible story you are making out of each one of us right now, even this morning, God. And the Bible stories to come to fill these seats with salvation and deliverance and being filled with the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that we can be owners on earth, surrendered to you, God, but taking initiative and spreading the kingdom, heaven on earth as it is in heaven, God. We say yes to you this morning. We say yes to you this morning, God, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Just before we take communion this morning, I want to invite you, if God is showing any area in your life where you need to come to him to ask forgiveness, to turn from any habits, to turn from any negative patterns that you are doing in your life right now, Jesus says to come to him, he will forgive you, he will cover you in his love, and he will set you free. And who Jesus sets free is free indeed. Amen. So Jesus, we just come before you right now. If there's anyone we need to forgive, we choose to forgive them, not because we can forgive them, but because you in us can forgive them, God. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us. And we thank you, Father, for the second chance, for your mercy new every morning, for the ability to be in active relationship with you, hearing your voice, getting into your word, and living out our story on earth. Thank you, Jesus. So we just take this this bread right now and this blood right now, and we remember you, God. This is grape juice, if anyone's concerned. God, we just take this and remember you right now. We remember that our testimonies are written in your blood. They're just a blank canvas without your sacrifice, God. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, my commission to you is to be a witness this week. Find somebody you can tell your story to. Maybe it's what you wrote down on the rock, or maybe it's your salvation story. Or if you don't have a salvation story yet, I want to invite you to just welcome Jesus into your heart, even this morning. He is love, he is perfect love, and he has such a redemptive story to write in your life. If you've got a family or you've got a friend, and if you're in the church, you've got a friend, tell your story to them. Start out by just sharing it around the dinner table or calling up a friend and grabbing coffee. Just start practicing your testimony with someone who even knows Jesus already. Sometimes that's a little less intimidating. But let's be a witness to each other and be a witness to our world in Jesus this week. Amen? All right.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.